it's been on fire. I mean, it's almost like there's just this constant, it's always the same lessons. I know. It is. But the lessons that we learn all the time. But this has just been one of those, because now the vaccine's out, right? It's being delivered. We're on our way, right? So 3 months from now, COVID will be history. But besides that, Joe Biden will be taking office here soon. And obviously, all will be better at that point. I mean, all he had to do was tell us he was forming a task force, and then bam, coronavirus is like no more, because he's just going to be like the uniter, right? I mean, it's all gone. All angst is out, and so it's all good now. But what we miss, and we constantly miss this, investors miss this every time. That's why the results of the average investor are so terrible. And I don't mean because they go out in there and they jump on some, you know, air.com in 1999. They jump on some Looney Tune penny stock. I need to buy these pot stocks because they're going to the moon. So they buy, I'll think of it in a minute. Tilray, I think, which is that big Canadian one. At you know, $200 a share, knowing it's going to go to the moon after it already gone up from, you know, $20, and then it, you know, goes into single digits. I mean, it's just people chase what is obvious and in front of them, like a dog. No thought. We just are like yap, and then we chase. Okay, the great hockey player, right? The great Gretzky. Gretzky has always said this in the most amazing way when we think about this in all aspects of life. How did you score so many goals? And he said, I skate to where the puck is going. Oh. I mean, can you imagine? Think about this in the sense of how investors invest. And I'm going to come back to this in the second hour because it just strikes me as how incredibly important this is to fully grasp. But we have this idea, like imagine all, what are there, about 10, I think there's 5 on each side in hockey. Does that sound right? They just chase each other around the ice. They chase the puck. Like, you know, like a daisy chain. Congo dance. No. I mean, what if all the players, like, on the baseball field, like ran to the ball? Oh, who's covering the bases? Nobody would do that. But investors do it all the time. They don't think forward at all. It's like, well, I read this really amazing article that everybody's getting high. Oh, okay. Then I need to go get those, and those stocks are red hot. Okay, so let's go ahead and go buy high. Hope it goes higher, but it doesn't always. It's what's coming. We got to skate to the puck. And so when we think about this with the vaccines, we pull it to today. What are people doing? They're just sitting there like, I don't know. And then it turns into the worry of whether the vaccine is going to work. Are there allergic reactions? It could take a year or two. And it's going to come back. It's going to mutate. Doesn't the flu virus do that? Isn't it going to change? We go from, oh my gosh, this is an amazing miracle. In less than a year, way less than a year, we are going to have a vaccine for a virus. We were told for sure by the experts, and they don't ever get anything wrong. I mean, they are on it. This is what they do. They stake their whole life. They study it. The models were never wrong. Wearing a mask, don't wear a mask. Please don't wear a mask. I mean, we need to wear a mask. All those things changed. But they're never wrong, right? We can't just admit that we were wrong or we are going to be wrong because this is an incredibly difficult virus. It changes. It does things that we've never seen before. That would have been a great humility coming into it, but that's not what we did. They all knew what to do. And so now, instead of just accepting that this vaccine is coming, and we saw it, right? We talked about this months ago. We saw it coming. It's like, can you believe that there's like 30 vaccines in trials now? Can you believe they're in final stages with three of them? Months we've talked about that with the COVID numbers. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Skate to where the puck is going. But we don't. And then we wake up and we go, wow, the market's way too high. It can't do this. I can't buy now. I was sitting on cash because of the election, because of this concern, the shutdown, the economy, da-da, 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 da-da. And you're left on the sidelines every time. Because we chase the puck instead of skating where it's going to go. Markets move in advance, and of course they move in advance. It's not like a strange, weird thing that they do. Of course they move in advance. It's like, well, this is what we think is going to happen next year, but let's ignore that, and let's just chase what's happening right this second. Of course it does. If, in fact, the economy is going to open up, it's like people, well, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the first quarter next year? The economy is going to boom. Well, what about fill in the blank? It's Joe Biden. It's this or that. Hey, it might be a little bit more if Trump was in there, because they're going to do unbelievably stupid things. It's what liberals do. And Joe might be more of a centrist or what, but I don't know what he is. He doesn't know what he is. It's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious that Joe isn't going to be governing the United States. His team will be, and they're pretty left. So central government, which takes a dollar, tears it up into little pieces, throws a few out to friends, and then it turns into pennies for the economy. But they believe in that because they believe in power, centralized power. That is destructive to the economy. It doesn't matter if you like government program A or B. If you want more, quotes, fairness, meaning we need to take these people who are successful over here and destroy them and give it to people who are not successful. That's what fairness is in a centralized planning system. That's destructive. But it's not so destructive that it can ruin the fact that the vaccine is coming. We have pent-up demand. Everybody's got tons of money in their bank accounts, ready to rock and roll. They haven't gone to a concert. They haven't gone travel. They haven't seen their grandkids. They are busting out. And even Joe can't stop that. It's going to be a boom. Period. So the market's moving in anticipation. So when we hear people babbling nonstop about the P.E. ratios or the Shiller, of course, you know, he won a Nobel Prize, just in case you didn't know, because that actually is his first name. Nobel Peace Prize winning Robert. Robert's his middle name. Robert Shiller. So Nobel Peace Prize winning economist. That's his first name. You know, you can't escape it. For 10, 15 years, the market's been overpriced, according to him. You can't escape it. P.E. ratios are here. We're way too far ahead. The average is this. CNBC all day long. Blah, blah, blah. I can't stand how bullish this is. Way too high. Can't believe it. It's all the Robin Hood people. It's just these kids. It's just these millennials. They don't know anything. They're just stupid. And they don't know. I'm a serious Wall Street guy. Yeah, I didn't own Tesla. I didn't own any of these. But I'm a serious, smart Wall Street guy. Okay. So we see this all the time. If you will, it's like a Wall Street arrogance. Like you can just mathematically run this down to nothing. But when we aren't thinking forward, we buy into that. We have to be thinking forward or we keep missing. And this is why when we've been talking about the lessons of Dow 30,000, and because people have asked me all my life, right? They really have. Dow at 3,000, 5,000. You know what? From an early age, I kind of did the math, you know, and went, yeah, the Dow will be at 100,000, probably in my lifetime. Now, almost certainly in my lifetime, unless I don't live a normal life expectancy. It's kind of hard to imagine, but that's the trajectory. But what do we fall into every day? What's right in front of us? This is where we live. I live right now. I'm thinking right now. In the moment. I'm not thinking forward naturally. It takes a pause and a thought. And so when we're caught today in the angst of the unfairness of an election, we're caught that there was cheating in my country in an election. Not enough to overturn the election. I get that. But that doesn't make it okay. And it might have been enough to elect that guy in a local congressional race that shouldn't have been elected. And all those people that worked hard for that person, not just the person who lost, but everyone that worked hard for it. It bugs us. This is where we live. And we have to sometimes set those things aside, and we have to think forward. And when it comes to investing, it's so unbelievably critical and unbelievably basic, but really hard. You know, it's one of those things where you look at it, and for somebody like me, it's been around doing this for a long, long time and doesn't like to steal money from people. I find all this really easy and yet hard. It's the same message for 40 years. You buy the great corporations and you own them. You put them away. And you wait for creative destruction to make some of them worth zillions of dollars and others go away. That's the process. You don't throw darts and buy this and buy that. You buy and diversify lots of things because they don't all work. But the market works always over long periods of time. And yet people are always buying gold or annuities that pay 2%. Two. That's all you'll ever get. And the money's tied up forever. You can't change your mind because they take 10% up front. The commissions are ridiculous. I know. I actually got a letter. This is funny. I got a letter probably from an insurance company attorney. Probably. So, and I'm pretty sure she's going to be listening to the program because we did find out, I think, that it was somebody with some equity index annuity company. Seemed to be an attorney for them. Anyway, she sends me an email about the commissions. Okay, and not denying that 10% commissions come out of off the top. That's true. But it doesn't come out of the investor's pocket some mysterious way. And wanted to point out that fact to me. I'm like, okay, so when the car dealer sells a car, the salesman makes a commission, but somehow that just magically isn't paid by the guy that buys a car, right? That's not. No, that's paid by the auto dealer. And the people that work there that are paid by the auto dealer, the customers don't pay for them. No, in marked up cost or anything. Of course they don't. It's just magic fairy dust. It's so absurd that a commission, a cost, a transaction fee of any kind that is through this whole chain of events that ends up with this product that traps people for 10 years, we pretend doesn't pay a commission and we're legally allowed to do that, is absurd. It's unbelievable. And the idea that, sorry, but thanks for reminding me by sending me an email of your stupidity. This is ridiculous. It's not even a valid argument. Of course the money comes out. Just because, you know, it comes out of my left pocket doesn't mean it doesn't come out of my pants. It comes out of my pants. It comes out of the cost of the product that is pimped to these people with 10% commissions and they can't get out. That's why they can only do 2%. If we ever thought about this, really, we would understand that you can't be trapped in fear. You can't. This is something that works. I need to break it up. All right. This is something that works over long periods of time always. But what the other folks say, all other folks, all other things, is that you need to be scared of what's happening in this moment, not living the wealth creation that it is. Got to take a quick break. I'm getting the overtime notice. We'll be right back. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
First, I want to give a note to Kevin. I'm going to try to catch his show today from 2 to 3. Education, education, education. Actually, I got my education from my father, who was a CPA, and in college from studying accounting, economics, and finance. So it'll be interesting to see what his show has, you know. I'll check it out.
There you go.
I wanted to say a word about the old election, you know. It's kind of depressing and everything when, for instance, the Supreme Court doesn't take the Texas case, and you wonder about, you know, I mean, it seems so totally wrong, and you wonder why the hell vote, right?
Yeah.
And can I hold on?
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah, yes, you can. You can. There's
Thanks.
No problem. Okay. All right. Yeah, so you can hear the music. We are going to be running up on our break here. Hey, I just want to reiterate, and we'll talk some more about this, right? Markets move ahead, but in all aspects of life, economic, we have to be thinking forward and not get caught in the day-to-day because we miss it. So the market is discounting all the growth that's going to be coming next year. Has it all been discounted? No, but much of it is already gone. Waiting for the news means you miss most all the gain all the time. All right, we'll be back after Fox News at top of the hour. Hello, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, our number here is 580-KIDO. 580-5436. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. And of course, I want to mention this before we jump on the phones. Again, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's noise. Takes you further from the truth. Takes you away from the magic of compounding over long periods of time. It's a capital destroyer. It's not entertaining. It's stupid. It's really stupid. And I'm not trying to be mean about this because I don't want people to tune it out because you just say mean words. But that kind of behavior destroys capital, and I think it's important to understand that. People get caught up in it, or they say, this doesn't work, and I need to go find something, you know, something that won't work, that guarantees it won't work, that other people get rich off of. That's the problem with it. It takes us in wrong directions. But when we get caught up in the day-to-day, we don't really understand. We see something like Airbnb and DoorDash, both of them, you know, well, one more than doubled, one almost doubled in its first day after coming out at astronomically high prices in the first place. So it's like 1999 again, right? That's what the quotes bears, the really sophisticated, smart investors tell you all day long, 24/7, on CNBC or Fox Business or whatever. You know, Fox Business is better about that. They really are, to be honest with you. I you know, it may not be as flashy, but they don't spend as much time, you know, just hammering on individual why the market's so high. It's when we do this, we miss it. We focus on one aspect. Does it seem like, for example, Carnival Cruise Line is way too high? It might be, because they might be going out of business. And I'm certainly, again, back to what I said like 3 minutes ago. We may mention a stock. It doesn't mean you ought to own it. And I'm certainly not putting it in portfolios. It's just, it's frighteningly leveraged. But when we talk about the market being so high, we have to talk about the fact that energy companies aren't. Banks are not. Not by any remote historic numbers. So, is Airbnb too high? Probably. It's a very cool idea. But when we're looking at classic price-to-earnings ratios and things like that, and then defining the whole market based on that, it's not smart. It's noise, and we are getting too close to it and not understanding that we need to just own the great corporations. That's it. We'll talk more about that. Our number is 580-KIDO. Okay, Jim, go ahead and finish up what you were saying there.
Yeah, Dave. Well, the only thing I was going to say about the election is that it seems awfully disappointing, and you can't imagine how things went wrong. And really, there is a responsibility that every state has to every other state they need to get it right and everything. But on the other hand, if you look at it philosophically and you go back over history, right, and there have been lots of disenfranchisements over history. I mean, you know, the black people, the slavery, the poll taxes, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I mean, that doesn't excuse whatever. Things should be done correctly, but, I mean, this isn't the first time. And you have to figure the Supreme Court has a reason for doing what, you know, they're doing. There are more conservatives now in the Supreme Court. So anyway, you got to look at it philosophically and go with the flow. I mean, in 1 year, you have the pandemic and then a screwed up election. It's amazing.
It is, and we're going to have to move on from it, I know. I also am glad to see that people are fired up about it because we have to get it right. We have to get January 5th right.
I mean, the Senate thing in Georgia is really important.
Well, it is, but it's also, this isn't right that somebody somewhere is sending in ballots that are being counted more than once that shouldn't have been in the first place.
Well, I mean, we should go to the polls. They should verify voter. I mean, there's all sorts of things they should do.
I know, and that's what's disappointing about this. You know, if people can't get off their couch and get their large rears out the door to go vote, then I don't need to care that they don't vote. I don't care. They don't care enough. They don't. If they don't care enough to go out and vote, they most certainly haven't cared enough to find out what the election's about, what people's viewpoints are. So why would I think if they can't get off the couch that they're going to actually take the time, though, to figure out all of the things?
That's what gets me about, you know, for instance, the Supreme Court. I mean, the Supreme Court saying this is okay, you know.
Yeah, the Supreme Court, yeah, and that's the beauty of the Supreme Court as it sits now. Conservative means that they actually try to interpret the law. It doesn't mean they write law. Liberals want to write law through the courts. They want the third legislative branch. They don't just want Congress and Senate. They also want to legislate from the bench. It's absurd. I have no idea why their point of view is that way. I really don't. I've never heard a reasonable explanation. What you're really saying is I don't believe in the Constitution of the United States. I think we should just abolish the courts, because that's what you would do if you are going to legislate from the bench. And that's what liberals do. So the idea that a conservative court is going to, quotes, vote conservatively is absurd. They don't.
Well, I wonder.
That's not what they are. A conservative justice is an interpreter of the law. In other words, a conservative justice is the only real justice. They're the only ones that are actually doing their constitutional job. Everyone else who says, well, I'm a liberal judge, then you do not believe in the Constitution, period. You can't. It's not possible to believe in the Constitution and want to overturn the Constitution and legislate from the bench. It's not possible. I suppose you could have liberal leanings, you can vote for liberals, but if when it comes to being judged or judging a case, we should never know or assume before the arguments are made that the judge is going to vote X or Y. Period. They should hear the case and then make a decision based on the law. I don't want to go and be in trouble for some crime and have a judge go, I don't like his politics, man. Or, hey, he's a conservative like me. So that's a good thing. It's not. I'm supposed to set all of that aside, just like we are as jurists, is to set all of our bias aside and judge the case in front of us on the merits of the case. I don't know where we got away from this, where people have to be a, quotes, a liberal justice or a conservative justice. Just be a justice.
Well, I wonder if there was a spokesman for the Supreme Court, or, you know, if it was unanimous that they not take it or what.
What's unanimous? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I wonder if all nine justices decided that way, or if it was just a majority that decided. Maybe some of them thought we ought to take it.
They might have. I don't know. I don't think they ever have said it was a 5-4 vote not to take the case. So I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you. I got to roll.
Thanks. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Lyle, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, morning, Dale. I appreciate your insight. I I listen pretty regularly, but I'm frequently working Saturday mornings.
Well,
so I can't call in, but my question for you, okay, Biden presidency, he said, okay, I want to legalize everyone who's in the country illegally. There's talk of making Puerto Rico and D.C., giving them statehood, basically expanding the dependent class. Mm-hmm. For every one person in America who has saved for their retirement, I would venture a guess there's probably 40, 50 or more who have not. So you've got guys like me, old farts who have been saving for, you know, 40 years, and guys who have saved, what do they say, the average 50-year-old has $10,000 put aside for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does a liberal politician say, you know what, everybody like Lyle who saved their entire life, they need to give their IRA, their 401k, to the government, and we will consider Social Security like an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Lyle gives us every penny he saved, and we guarantee him his monthly Social Security check. Now, everybody else who spent like drunk sailors, who only saved 10 grand, they're going to be taken care of just like Lyle. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, the extreme parts of the party, like Nancy Pelosi, have already suggested that. Several times. She's had two trial balloons in the last, I'm going to say, six or 8 years that has talked about the government taking over 401ks. Now, I don't mean that they are offering 401k plans, that they want to take them over so they can pay out. Every time the market has a severe correction, which is typically once every 10 years, they trudge it out. Like, that's it. See, people are incapable of investing. The money didn't go away. It went down temporarily in price. But that's another opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity to steal people's freedom. That's, I'm paraphrasing what Ron Emanuel said, right? Don't miss an opportunity to steal people's freedom.
Right.
That's pretty much what the liberals believe to do. It doesn't work economically. It's a very bad idea. And it's just a bad idea on any human level, too. So when it comes right down to it, Lyle, I think that what people miss is when we talk about economics and the theory of economics, and we're going to hear lots of it because we've got the Keynesians coming in again, Keynesians, whatever you want to call them. I'm not sure it's Keynesians, Keynesians. I've heard it both ways. But anyway, the Democrats are going to talk about how if they spend a dollar, it actually makes money. It doesn't cost money. It's a multiplier. So remember multipliers. You and I are having this discussion and listening to the financial folks for Joe Biden talk about how they want to do a stimulus thing because a dollar will magically multiply into $1.5 or $1.7 out there in the economy. It won't. It never has. But they keep beating the drum. Why? Because if they take more money of yours from the private sector, it brings them more power. Period. It doesn't help. And I think a child would logically go, okay, here is the productive person. Okay. He's the most productive. Dad in my household is the most productive person. The kids aren't. He goes to work and buys food, and mommy goes to work and they buy food. They're the most productive people in our household. But we think it would be better if we took over all the finances because then we would control it. So the most productive people have to give us, because we're not doing anything, all of the money. I mean, everybody would know that's a dumb idea, and you're going to try to tell me that that's a multiplier effect? Somebody give me a spear so I can get on this chair and jump on it. It's so stupid. But that's what we're going to hear the next 4 years. I swear we will. It's coming because that's what they believe in. They don't believe in it because nobody could think that's a good idea to take a dollar from private sector, private sector, very productive, right? And give it to government bureaucrats. Now, they don't know how to do anything. They've never done anything except, excuse me, I'm going to move paper from here over to here. I need to take a phone call. And And that doesn't destroy the value of the dollar. So we roll it through here, send it to this department, that department, take it a little bit, throw it out to the lobbyists to give to our constituents that give us money for elections. Nothing could go wrong here. And then it magically, though, rolls into multiples of that dollar. It does not. It destroys the value and destroys the economy. The more central planning that happens, the worse the economy does. That is a simple fact of history, but that's what we're running into now. And that, Lyle, is a back to the point of what you're talking about with the 401ks and everything else. Don't take people's money away.
Well, the other thing you brought up that also scares me, they've also floated a trial balloon about allowing 16-year-olds to vote.
Of course they have. Now, look, if we have more states, then you have a Senate that never is red again, okay? Because you automatically get four more Senate seats. Four. The elections are over. Because you think Puerto Rico has Republicans? They don't.
Or D.C., yeah.
Okay? So you end up with more states. Of course they float that idea. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. Clearly, these are Looney Tune ideas. I mean, they're lunacy, and they don't believe in having fair elections. They don't want to have an argument about what the best economic path is. You just don't have people walk up and go, you know, I think we ought to have an honest discussion about it. No, it's all case in fairness. Isn't fair. The rich aren't paying their fair share. What is the fair share? Why don't we define that, and then you could actually have an honest discussion. Should we take all of their money? Well, no, that's ridiculous. Okay, should we take half their money? Yeah, let's take half. But what the average person says, by the way, is 25%. We take more than half. So do you think that half the people in the United States should pay nothing? That's what half the people in the United States do. They pay nothing. They actually get money from the government. They don't pay into the system. They don't. Half the people don't. They're net takers from the system. The top 1% of taxpayers pay 40% of the tax bill in this country. Five pay over 60%. It's ridiculous. It's all one-sided. How much more can you take? The answer is you can't. The economy is already maxed out as far as taking anything that matters from the rich. You can't. It's like trying to get blood out of a turnip. It won't happen. You have to hit the middle class, which is exactly what happens with every tax increase targeted only for the rich, because all the money's in the middle class collectively. So when we look at these, we talk about fairness, we have to have an honest discussion. What is fair? Is it central planning? That's the most unfair, but we can talk about it being fair because we can pass laws about how fair it is. We can take money out of this pocket, put it in that pocket, and talk about how fair it is. And let's be honest about it. Republicans are terrible about messaging what is nice, kind, fair, balanced, freedom, all the things that we stand for. We don't message it well. People with Looney Tune ideas get up there and talk about, I mean, Looney Tune ideas. They really want to run your life. They do. They think they can do it better. I don't think they think though, so they just want the power. But they actually make this case honestly, and it works. If you're a white guy, you're a racist. I never thought I was, but I guess I am.
See, I'm old enough to remember the miracle that communism performed in the Soviet Union. I remember the lines of people standing in the cold waiting to try to get into a store to get a half a loaf of bread and half a pound of coffee. And it's scary stuff.
Here's what's going to happen in my opinion. Okay. Lyle, thank you for your call. I got a roll. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling. In my opinion, as we think about this and we worry about it and what's its impact's going to be in the market. Okay. Cause this is very important. It really is. There's way over $10 trillion sitting in cash, earning zero here in the United States alone. There's $17 trillion at negative interest rates around the world. That's called fear. There are literally billions and billions of dollars sitting trapped in equity-indexed annuities that, by definition, will make less than 2%. And it's trapped for over the 10 years. You can't take your money out. Not without massive penalties. This is all on fear. Nobody would rationally do any of this. So we have to start thinking about what does this messaging of bad economic things mean? Does it mean our economy is going to tank? And that's the important part. It does not mean that. The free-flowing capitalist markets have overcome 8 years of Obama, 8 years of Bush. Not exactly great tax policy. Wasn't as bad as Obama. But it overcame it. Why? Because we have divided government. January 5th, Georgians are going to vote to keep the Senate red, which means many of the Looney Tune things that we've talked about, that worried about and rightfully worried about, aren't going to happen. Not now. And then everybody has to go to work and try to figure out how to get the House in 2 years. Bottom line, the economy is going to boom next year. And if you're sitting around, sitting it out, worried about fill in the blank, like, as I mentioned, tens of trillions of dollars around the world have, we miss it. We need to worry about and fight for these things. Get the job done. But it's not going to take down the United States. It's not going to take down the markets. It never has. It never has. We've got the best system in the world. But as human beings, we just can't deal with all this negative, negative, negative 24/7. We can't. We just can't function that way. Or we hide. We hide our money in fear. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We got a clear board. Bring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO is our number. It's also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, if we can get to him today. Before we jump on the phones, I want to mention again this. Really, my theme, obviously, most all the time, but particularly strong now, is the long-term nature of the market and how it works. The Dow hit 30,000, and, you know, you can go, I'm a big professional investor, and it's really just a number. And it is just a number. It's true. But it's also a number that represents how far we've come in 40 years. Why do I say 40 years? Because that's my career. Dow was at 800. We're at 30,000. But here's the important thing to understand. $10,000 invested when I started in this industry is worth over $1 million, a one-time investment with dividends reinvested, and that's the only thing that matters for thinking about returns. Now, nothing's close to that. But anyway, I want to mention this because we did a Zoom meeting for clients, and we've now rolled those over. We figured out a way to record them is through YouTube. And YouTube carries them. So look for Petso Financial under YouTube. And we've got several videos in there, but I want to particularly invite you to subscribe. We are going to start to, of course, subscriptions are free. It just gives you notifications, but but subscribe to it. And we're going to be, because we're thinking we've had a really, if you will, an outcry to please create some stuff for young people, beginning investors, even children. And so we're working that through. And if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. But, you know, a 5-10 minute. Now, this one I want to really point to, Dow 30,000. Yeah, it's a story of my career. But it's also the story of how it worked. This works. Decade after decade, bad news, problem after problem. It works. And it's a great reminder. YouTube, Dow 30,000. Just go under Petso Financial, you'll find us. Highly recommend it. I do. I know it's me, but I'm not the only one that liked it. This was good. Watch it. All right, Terry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Young Mr. Petso, how are you doing, Professor?
I'm doing well. I used to be young, but I'm still, you know, still Spitfire. How's that?
Well, I haven't assumed room temperature yet, so it's probably a good day, huh?
That is a good day.
Well, one quick one on the Supreme Court in the Texas case.
Yeah.
It's a quote came to mind, sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. They're just trying to keep from having riots in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some of that. There is.
No, there's a lot of that with some of the people I talk to. But
I think so, too. I think that there's a general feeling like, where do we go from here? And it's like, it doesn't matter. We have to do this right. It doesn't matter if people burn buildings, if it's not right. We have to have our system right. And right is not accepting it because we're afraid of people rioting. It's just, you know, Terry, we need to have this, we need to get this right, or we're a banana republic. And in some ways, I worry that we are. You know, I have always worried about places like Chicago because they don't really care to get it right. They still vote dead people there all the time.
Yep. And the good news is, look at the great timing on our new police chief getting out of Portland. But what I really wanted to ask you was, I had a procedure down at the VA hospital, and all the routines had changed and everything. Finding a new best practices, I think, is the proper term for it. And how long will it take our little meemaw Marxists down at City Hall to try to return us to the nanny state of where they're got their thumb on everything and, you know, dictating everything versus, you know, just letting things be?
Terry, that is the constant fight that conservatives have to fight. Not Republicans, but conservatives, people that believe in freedom. That's the fight, because the natural tendency of human beings is to centralize power and or be taken care of. So the leaders want to centralize more power to themselves. The minions, by human nature, don't really want freedom. They just want people to take care of them and tell them what to do. Because having freedom takes work. It does. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's something we think, and I actually think there is a spirit within the human soul somewhere, because otherwise people wouldn't go to such lengths and such personal sacrifice as our forefathers did. They just wouldn't do that. That's inhuman. It's certainly not selfish.
Ask not what your country can do for you, quote a great president.
Yeah, exactly. It's a it's a different. It's not a human nature quality to be sacrificial beyond something like, say, your children. That is inborn in humans. But there's something there in the spirit that cries for freedom. But as Reagan said, we're but one generation away from losing it all. And we do have to continue to remember that. Fortunately, I think that there are a number of, there are millions of us that care about the future generations having that freedom, because we have to. We can't just live our life in our own happiness, our own pleasure, and not think about future generations and think about the outcome of having everything, if you will, take God out of everything in our life, have no moral compass. Everything's okay as long as it's centrally planned. When we know where that goes, it's not a good place to go. We millions of the quiet people out there have to fight for that. We have to believe in that. And
like
it doesn't mean we win every day.
Earlier,
but we have to.
We have to get off our fat duffs and go out and stand on some disingenuous bureaucrat's desk and tell them what's what.
We do. We do. You know, I talk about things in government all the time, that government is dysfunctional. But I have to ask ourselves this hard question. Why do I accept that? Why? Why is it okay that DMV is DMV? Why is it okay that they don't figure out after an entire summer how to open the schools at West Ada? How is that okay? Yeah. It's not okay just because you're in government that you are incapable of doing something well. It's not okay. It's only okay because we as a society accept that government is dysfunctional and is slow, horrible, and does things just in a horrible way. And we just sit there and go, I'll just wait in line. This is what we do. And I think as a society we do, as you the reason I'm jumping on this is because you just gave me that picture, standing on a bureaucrat's desk and saying, we can do better. And I just wish we would have more politicians like Donald Trump that get out there and think about things in a business way and say, why does it have to take 3 years for a vaccine? I want it happening now. I don't care who's in charge now. Let's fix that. And then and things that are important, and we take it to a lower level now. It's important productivity-wise to get it right at DMV. It is.
We can go back to history and to quote General MacArthur, President Trump should just say, I will return.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. There you go. All right, Terry, I got to roll. Thank you for your call.
And I won't get in the boxcar.
Okay, there you go. All right. Have a good day. Thank you. And our number is 580-KIDO. Matt, Paul, hang on. We got to take a quick break here for Fox News. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Okay, and if you missed anything, you want to catch it, our podcasts are over on our website at petsofinancial.com. Also, we've got articles, calculators, and now a new YouTube channel as well. So if you what's great about this is that we, through this pandemic, of course, we've been doing Zoom meetings with our clients, and some are working and can't do it at 10 a.m. Some don't want to do it at 2. Some can't do it in the evening. So it's available. So we finally figured out a way to do that, but we also realize that people broadly want to get information and learn. I mean, really learn. Not be sold a product, for gosh sakes, but learn about Dow 30,000. It's a new one we did, and we're going to hopefully get some up there for kids and kind of a beginner's education about what investing is about. All right, let's go to Matt. Matt, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for having your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say something. I do a lot of work with young kids. We have a company that does gym floors, and we work out of state a lot. And these kids that come out of college, we hire them for the summertime, and they make, you know, we do prevailing wage jobs a lot of times, so we're making $40 to $80 an hour.
Wow.
And it's amazing when, yeah, get out of college, you know, but it's hard work.
Yeah.
And we work 40 to 60 hours a week. So these kids sometimes, they'll have a check of $6,000 a week. And they always have a heart attack when they, like we're in Washington, and they get like $1,800 taken out of their check for the federal government.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just freak out. And I always, and most of them are, I guess you'd write the right word, be social justice. They always think, you know, they're owed everything. And I always say, you know, to them, hey, you know, you need, most of the kids we hire are probably straight A or, you know, high B. And I always say, you know what? You have an A's, but you have kids in your classroom are getting D's and F's. If you want social justice, why don't you take part of your grade and give to the guy on the low end and make his grade equal with yours?
Mm-hmm.
Well, boy,
mm-hmm.
They come unglued.
Right.
You know. And the one reason I did call today is I am selling one of my last properties in California. I used to love California, hate it now.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my real estate guy, and he said that, you know, we're selling two on one. And it comes out, you know, about $750 is what it's selling for, but people are offering about $850. But it's filling all the escrow about twice because the banks are starting to say, hey, don't give as high of appraisals, even if these people are coming in with $400,000 to put a down payment on, because they're worried about the FDIC failure rate of 25% coming up after the first of the year.
Mm.
Do you think property values throughout the United States are going to drop?
I don't. I there's just such a mass exodus. Do I think they're going to drop in San Francisco and New York and LA? I think that's a no-brainer. They already are. So I'm really not saying anything that isn't already happening. So the places that are, I think the trend is going to continue. It may not be as exacerbated because people will actually be able to get out of their apartments if they live in New York. And that might feel like they're back in action again. But the reality is people can live where they want to live. And as Kevin and I were talking about with Tamarack, they're literally marketing to that. Like, just come live here, live in the mountains, and then Zoom everything and have a real life. And I was visiting with a client this past week that works for Google. and of course lives in the Bay Area. And it was a very heartfelt conversation about just burnout, just tired of it, and really needs to get out. And what does that look like? Well, if you don't live in the Bay Area, it looks like you might be able to get your life, right? You don't have to live that kind of expensive life. You don't have to be working for Google. Or maybe you work on a more part-time basis, your own. You just maybe don't make $1 million a year anymore. And life can be, you can get your life back. And I think sometimes we forget that people, it takes a while to do that, but people want that. And when they get it or see it, it spreads, right? Because it's like, well, you know, if Joe can do that, I can. And so we kind of, it feeds on itself. So I can't see any of this ending, and I don't anytime soon. Would I be buying real estate in Boise? Of course I don't buy real estate in Boise. You don't buy into a flaming hot market and just pray to God it goes higher. It's absurd. And the property taxes here are terrible. Maintenance, getting somebody to do any job at all is very expensive if you can find somebody. A home ownership is not exactly a ticket to wealth. It's a ticket to big expenses. So I don't think that's what I wanted to clarify that, but at the same time say I just don't see housing building slowing down, at least outside of the major cities.
Okay. No, I used to live in San Diego, so I'm talking about San Diego, but
yeah.
You know, is the FDIC are they really going to have a 25% then people
default 25% rate?
Of people aren't paying?
No, they won't.
No,
I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think that's even possible. When I see numbers like that or hear numbers like that, I figure that comes off the internet from some, you know, the quotes, the dark web.
Okay.
You know, and probably right next to it is the end of the world stuff, come buy gold from us. Maybe an equity indexed annuity ad runs next to it. It's usually these areas are, you can always tell by the ads that run, right, that you're, whether you're onto a bad spot or not.
Well, this is my realtor. You know, he's worried. You know, because we, you know, like I said, we're getting like 16 bids per the property each time you put it out there.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. But you know, and like I said, I'm just so fed up with California. I lived there for 54 years, and I'm a redneck. And
yep.
And I love, you know, you don't notice how bad life is living there until you move to here.
Yeah.
And I drive through the whole Northwest, and I love these small towns. You know, I work in small towns.
Yeah.
Well, I do tell people, you know what, if you're good with your hands, I still buy property in Napa area. I go look for a piece of a property that's like almost dilapidated, just destroyed. And I usually take about a year or 2 years doing it, and I usually make about 30%.
There you go.
But
hey, Matt,
but
I'm sorry, but
my
I got
hands.
Yep. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. And keep
Thank
up the
you.
Good work out there. And thanks for being a real guy. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. A real redneck, I guess. Paul, you're up to bat next.
Good morning,
thanks
Dave.
For waiting.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Good.
Interesting show.
Thank you.
So you're saying just go with growth, forget value?
No, I think you don't forget value. I think that you balance it. I'm not a big believer in chasing IPOs that double. And so I think actually we're seeing a rotation to value. And I think that'll be the part of the market that does the best in 2021. But I don't have to be right. I just need to have some money in front of different things. Do I think that you should be continuing to stay with great corporations? You don't have to agree with them, but they're just category killers. Google, Facebook. You know, I know they steal your data. I know that they're run by leftists and all that stuff. But, you know, I can make money on the stock and give it to the people that are fighting the good fight. But the point,
all mutual funds.
Yeah, and mutual funds are going to own them. But
sure.
When you're talking about it, I think you want to have balance. And I really think that one of the things that changed for me years ago that made all the difference in my ability to manage money and my whole thought process was being flexible in what looks like value. And when companies are growing very rapidly, and I can still say that paying 30 times earnings for a fast-growing company is better than one that's selling at 20 times but not growing very fast or growing at all. And that's the kind of thing that changed for me 20-some years ago, that I don't think you want a classic go with value, go with that, but I think you want to focus more now on small cap. And as the world comes out of this pandemic, I would also look at emerging markets again. Those are the two areas that seem really undervalued to me. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. Have a good day. All right, Lee Joe, I am sorry, but we're going to run low on time. But you got a minute. Go.
That's not near enough, but
I know
points.
It's not fair,
one,
but I'm out of time
cannot,
for you. Yeah, go ahead.
You cannot stand alone. You have to stand with someone else. Mm-hmm. And go to peoplesrights.org, conveniently wiped out by Facebook, and 500 foreclosures state listed, okay, on state website. We're looking at massive homelessness brought to you by COVID and people who cannot pay their bills now because their businesses or their jobs were destroyed. So you think, I mean, that the real estate market may continue, but the essential and non-essential are going to grow further apart and more unrest will happen. Yeah. Is that my minute?
I'm sorry, Lee Joe. It is. Call me back next week, okay? We want to get you back on.
Please.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. God
Bye.
Bless everybody, and I hope you have a great rally today for those of you going out, and have a great weekend otherwise. Thanks for tuning in.